For me, it's a real privilege to get to come up here and speak to you today. You know, being one of the elders, we don't just let anybody come up and speak. And so to me, I was real honored that Gary and Tony and the elders allowed me this opportunity to come up and speak to you today. What I want to talk about today is I want to talk about our small community groups that we have here within COTR. You know, that Pastor Tony's been teaching for several weeks before Easter and before Pastor Clyde talked, has been talking about community and what it looked like in the early church, both in the large and in the large sense and in the small sense, in the small gatherings. And, you know, he talked about community from Acts chapter 2. And I just want to kind of refresh, you know, the five kind of key points that he's been talking about from that early church look in Acts. They gathered together, both in the large sense, like we are here, as well as in the small. You know, they gathered in homes. They centered around doctrine, around the word. Prayer was essential part of what they did. Caring for each other, meeting the practical needs of each person. And it was, you know, and allowed for growth within the church. You know, the basic question we've kind of been talking about and kind of what I want to talk about today is, so how do we take that model and apply it in our church today, in our current culture? As the elder over house churches, you know, I want to focus on the small gatherings, on the relational groups. In particular, for me, I'm real passionate about the house churches. You know, meeting together in this setting, like we do every Sunday, is absolutely vital. You know, it's a model that the early church had, and it's a model that we should be following, and it's absolutely vital, and you should be here every week, you know, to participate, to be in fellowship with the body at large, to hear from our pastors and get direction and wisdom about the scripture and what God's teaching us. But I also think it's vital that we have the small group gatherings, you know, the small fellowships, the house churches. You know, we call them relational groups, and we've got several different opportunities here at COTR to meet in these small groups, in these relational groups. We have the house churches. We have the ladies group that meets on Wednesday, every other Wednesday night. We have the men's group that meets on the first and third Saturdays, with a hearty breakfast, by the way. There's young adults, there's youth, there's several recovery groups. So there's lots of opportunities to gather in these small groups. And I want to talk about today, I want to talk about why that's important that we do. Okay, why we get in those groups. In the Bible, we're told many times to edify one another. Like, oh, well, okay, so what does edify mean? I think we all kind of have an understanding, but I looked it up. I looked it up in Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and it defines edify as to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge, to uplift, to enlighten, to inform. Those all sound like good things that we could do in a small group, right? But let's go to Scripture and see what Scripture says. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." NIV uses the word effort, which is what I just gave you. King James uses the word follow after. New American Standard says pursue. These are all active words. You know how sometimes when you read Scripture, you've read something, you read it a multiple times. You've read it before, you read it again. You know, 6 months later, you read it again. And each time you read it, God shows you something different. When I was preparing for this, you know, the word that jumped out at me out of the NIV version of, says, let us make every effort. Okay, God, what's up with that? Why every effort? You know, and the question I have to ask is, are we making every effort to encourage each other, to edify each other? To some degree, I ask myself, do I make any effort? Make an effort implies we got to do something, right? We can't wait for the opportunities to edify people to come to us. We got to get out there and do it. We got to get out there and make the effort to build other people up. Hebrews 3:13 tells us, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Don't miss the word daily in that. You know, it's easy to read that and say, well, we got to encourage each other. Scripture tells us to encourage each other daily. So I give you a challenge, no charge for this one. Go find somebody to encourage every day. Make it a point to encourage somebody every day. Again, it's an active thing you got to go do. You got to go find somebody to encourage. Here's one more. Hebrews 10:25. In talking about gathering together and meeting together, this is a real verse that most of you will probably recognize. Hebrews 10:25 says, let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Seems pretty clear to me from just even from those three scriptures that God wants us to gather together, that we're supposed to fellowship, that we're supposed to meet in these relational groups. And oh, by the way, I don't think it's optional. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where the Word says, if you feel like it. I don't see anywhere in there where it says, when it's convenient for you. Maybe it's there, but I haven't seen it. So I don't think these things are optional. I think, God's commanding us to make efforts to fellowship, to make efforts to edify each other. And why wouldn't I want to be a part of something like that? Why wouldn't I want to be somewhere that I'm being built up, that people are encouraging me, and I get to encourage other people? Place that's people are going to lift me up and give me the opportunity to do the same for other people. Just seems like a good plan to me. So I've been talking about, gave you some scripture about why we should, why the Lord commands us to gather. And I've given you some of the reasons that, for me personally, why I've been involved in something like this most of my life. From youth to a youth leader to youth group to young adults to house churches, whatever you want to call them. Whether you want to call it house church or home groups or, the terminology we're using today here is relational groups. This is why I'm passionate about it, because I think it's important. I think, we're called to fellowship, and why I put the time and the energy in to lead one of our four house churches that we currently have. Again, we have other groups. And we'll talk about those a little bit later. But let me introduce to you the house church leaders. I spent a lot of years teaching the kids in the back, doing the back of the Kingdom Club. And, you know, one of the things with teaching kids, teaching children, is to do object lessons, you know, to show them something so that you're not just up there, you know, talking to them. It helps them remember, helps them relate to stuff. So I'm going to use the other house church leaders as my object lesson today. I've asked them to come up. I'm going to introduce them to you, and I'm going to ask them to come up and share with you just a couple of minutes why they're passionate about house churches. You know, why do they spend the time to, you know, open up their home or to come here and have a house church and meet with a group of people? So first let me introduce Tim and Anna Fetterman. You guys want to come up? Just hang out here at the front for a minute. Tim and Anna's group meets here back in the Kingdom Club on the first and third Wednesday nights. Carl and Chris Hatch. You guys come up, Carl. Carl leads a group that meets in his house on Thursday nights, every Thursday. Pastor Gary and Bonnie Stebbins. They have a group that meets here on the first and third Thursday nights. And then myself and Connie, my wife, we lead a group that meets in our house in West Melbourne on Wednesday nights, the first and third Wednesdays. So I've asked each of them just to, you know, give you a couple of minutes of why are they passionate about house churches? Why do they do it? Why do they spend the time?
Wow. Why do I do this? Because God loves me and I want to give his love away. That's one thing. The song that was sung, Nailed to the Cross, that was sung this morning, as a large group, that's one of the main emphasis of the small group, particularly the second stanza or the chorus where it says, my sins are nailed to the cross, my soul is healed by scars. Those verses, I believe, should not be just sung, they should be lived. And the desire of my home group from what God has spoken into my life is that we're activating these words. We're living these words. Our group focuses around going out after you've been ministered to in the home group. And then reporting back the next week and sharing what happened when you left in relation to what you learned as a group together and being ministered to in healing if you had a rough week, or in glory unto the Lord if you've had a victorious week. It's edifying is through massaging your walk in God and maturing it and growing it up and not being afraid to step out for God when he says, hey, do this for me, and doing it and learning from it, because growth comes from applying the theory, not just learning the theory. And that's the purpose of our home group, is to apply the theories that we talk about in the activity of the home group. We Bible study, we worship, we have communion together as three components of our home group.
Good morning. Dean had said earlier when he started preaching that we have been a part of a small group pretty much our whole married life. And it has been such a blessing to us because the different house churches or home groups we have been in, they have been with us, you know, as young married couple. And when we had our children, the house church we were in, we had like baby blessings, baby dedications within our group. When we bought our first house, the group, we did a house blessing. We went from room to room in our house, you know, blessed our first house. And just different things, milestones within our lives, and our house church has always been there for us during those times. And it's such a comfort. It's such a blessing. The fellowship is sweet and wonderful. in more recent years, as our parents have gotten older and most of them have passed away, our house church was there to comfort us. So they have been friends. They have been comfort. They have been encouragers. And we just really benefit from that. And we want to just impress upon you, if you're not in a house church, to find one, to join one, because they are like a backbone. They really help us in our walk, in our journey.
So I just want to echo what Connie just said, because that's for us, you know, since we've joined this church 25, 30 years ago, something like that. One of our first things we did was join a house church, and the friends that we've come to know through that experience have just been with us that whole time. And I think, you know, they're closer than blood family. It's such a strong bond that God has built over the years.
It's interesting. Yesterday I was going through some papers that I had, and I had a folder full of cards that I got back in 2009. I had to have brain surgery, and I've kept all those cards, and I wrote a letter to the church of thank you for all that they had done. But it was our home group that was at the hospital praying that day that I had surgery, and I'm still here because of all their prayers. And I have gotten healing over the time, and it was phenomenal. We had meals brought to us. Everything that we needed, our home group was aware of and involved with. And I don't know where I would be without them during that time period. So I don't know about you, but we live a lot of life, and we need people around us that know what's really going on. We need people that are praying. We need people that we can go and have some fun things with. We often have a lot of laughter with people in our group. We do serious things. Iron sharpens iron. It's the place where the real fellowship happens, real church.
Amen. My wife and I have been involved in small groups, relational groups, home groups since our children were babies. Since my kids are in their 40s, that would be 40-some years of being connected with people through small groups. There are a number of reasons I think small groups are important. First is the importance of relationships, which Dean has talked about. When we are born again, we are baptized into the body of Christ. And so we're baptized into a corporate body. I do not believe there's any place in the Christian life for Lone Ranger Christians. We're called to walk together. We need one another. Second reason for me is studying the Word of God together. I get a lot out of studying the Scripture by myself, and that's what we should all be, self-feeders and studying the Word. But I really benefit from the spiritual insights of others as we gather together and discuss the Bible. It expands my understanding and knowledge of the Word. And so that's another good reason for gathering together. A third reason that's important to me is our ability to care for one another and support one another. Like Dean talked about, encouraging people. In a small group setting, you have opportunity to encourage those who might be down. We have opportunities to pray for one another. And a side benefit of that is that I get to begin to release that living water that God has placed inside of me. I get to grow in my ability to minister to others, to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing and saying, so that what God has deposited in me can be a blessing to others.
Thank you. Thank you all. And on behalf of the elders, to our house church leaders, I want to say thank you. Thank you for spending the time and putting in the effort and, you know, caring for our people to lead a house church. So you've heard from our house church leaders why they do it. Why do they spend the time? Why do they spend the effort? Why do they want to lead a house church? On Wednesday night at our house church meeting, I asked my group, that same question. Why do you come? You know, what's the benefit? Why are you here? You know? Yeah, we have nice, you know, we have good snacks afterwards, and we have fellowship and those kind of things, but why are you here? Why do you come? And so I wrote down what they said. I was going to pass out a, you know, sheet of paper and have them, you know, write it down and, you know, just give it back to me so it could be anonymous and they could say whatever they want. But you know, my group's always been open enough that, you know, if they want to take shots at me, they'll just take shots and it's okay, you know. But they didn't. So I asked them and I wrote down what they said. So let me read you the responses I got, okay? And you'll hear a lot of the same things that you just heard from the leaders. Gives me a sense of belonging. House church provides a common bond. I know that someone's there when I'm hurting or suffering. I get to know people on a personal basis. It's personal and we pray for each other. I need to have the individual relationships. We get to edify each other. Being able to share my prayer requests and seeing the answered prayer. Okay, so those were that's what, you know, just free-form responses I got from my group when I asked them. And again, I ask you, why wouldn't you want to be a part of something like that? You know, you'd be pretty hard-pressed to convince me that those things aren't important in our lives. So here's a cool nugget on how God works. So I put this, the next, I'm going to give you, I call them reasons for relational groups. And I put them together mostly on Tuesday night. And as you'll see, they pretty closely reflect what you've heard here from the leaders and what I heard from my group. So to me, it was confirmation. Yeah, this is what you're supposed to, you know, this is what you're supposed to teach. Because I always, you know, I always struggle whenever I've taught. It's like, you know, God, what do you want me to talk about? And so, you know, to me, it was really cool how God used the words of my house church to encourage me to teach these things that he'd already shown me. So I call them reasons for relational groups. There's 8 of them. I won't, you know, I'm not going to belabor them, but I just want to go through them. And a lot of them are going to be what you've heard. You know, first we get to encourage each other and help each other work through the process of applying what we hear on Sunday. You know, learn the practical things that we, how do we apply what we hear here on Sundays in our day-to-day life? You know, our churches, our house churches are, we call them sermon-based, you know, where we try to encourage our leaders to use the Sunday services kind of as our starting point for our discussions in our house churches. You know, that doesn't mean we don't, you know, go down other avenues if the Lord is leading that leader to do something different. But for the most part, we use what we talk about on Sunday. And it's a chance in our house churches, in our small groups, whether it's, you know, whether it's house church or whether it's the men's meeting or the ladies' meeting, to talk about what are other people hearing? You know, what are other people wrestling with in the Bible, in the Word, in Scripture? Certainly we get some of it Sunday, but when you're gathered together in a small group of 8 or 10 or 12 people or whatever it is, you get the opportunity to actively engage. You get to ask questions. You get to give your opinion. You know, we couldn't do that here on Sunday because Tony and Gary would never get through their lessons. You know, would never get through the teaching if people were asking questions and we were having dialogue with 100 people. It just wouldn't happen. Second thing is, and you know, this is a key one for me, is we get to support and care for each other. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, carrying each other's burden seems like a good plan, for one. But fulfilling the law of Christ seems like a really good plan. You know, and if the way to fulfill the law of Christ is by carrying each other's burdens, we ought to be doing that. You know, I'll give you, you know, Connie gave you the, what's been a real personal example to me, you know, of, you know, we lost both our moms about 3 years ago within a few months of each other. You know, they had declining health, and you know, it was over a period of time, and it was real important for us to have our house church there to support us, to pray for us, to, you know, just to be have the concern and care and concern from somebody else. And then last October, we lost my dad, and it was the same kind of thing. So, I mean, it's just, again, that's just a real personal example for me of, you know, caring for each other. Romans 12 talks about being devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. You know, again, you know, I think of the, you know, when we built our house, when we had our kids, when my kids have gotten married, you know, our house church has been there to support us, and they rejoiced with us in those things. And when we lost my parents, they mourned with us in those things. You know, it just is really important to have that support group and the opportunity to be able to do that, to support each other. And a house church and these small groups provides a way to do that. You know, the phrase one another is used a lot in the New Testament. It's like 50 times to describe the, you know, our relationship with other believers. We're instructed to love one another, to pray for one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, build one another up. All good things. Why wouldn't we want to do that? A third is allow prayer to become more meaningful to you. You know, a key aspect, you know, Carl talked about, a key aspect of our house churches is to pray together. You know, we get to pray together and hold each other up in prayer. I encourage my group, I send them the prayer requests after our meeting. I email them and post them on our housebook group and, you know, encourage them to hold each other up during the week. Don't just pray for us while we're here. Pray for us during the week. You know, pray, carry these prayer requests with you. But then the really cool part is we get to hear 2 weeks later, how did God respond? You know, we get to hear how God responded, and that builds our faith. Fourth is it's a place to practice your gifts. We all have gifts from God. Whether you believe it or not, whether you recognize them or not, we all have been gifted, you know, from God. We all have gifts as the Holy Spirit has decided to give them to us. You know, in a large group like this, you know, praying out loud for some people would just be horrifying. You know, Connie was up here. She does not like to speak in public. But, you know, she participates in our house church and she helps lead, and over time she's gotten to where it's okay. She, you know, she can do it. So we, you know, it's using the house churches as a place to learn about your gifts and exercise them, practice with them. You know, in a group that's in a place that's safe. You know the 10 or 12 people. You built relationships with them. So it's, you know, it's pretty comfortable to be able to practice. You know, again, I'll just give you a real quick example of, you know, people learning to give a word to somebody. You know, again, it's could be really uncomfortable to go up to somebody you don't know and share a word that you believe God has given you for them. But in a house church, if you, you know, I always encourage my group when we're praying, you know, if God gives you anything for anybody, you know, share it with them. You know, share it with the group if you can. You know, but if it's something to hold for just that person, well, hold on to it. Be faithful to hold on to it just for them and share it with them afterwards. So I think it's a safe place for us to practice our gifts. We get to worship together. Seems like a good plan, you know. Each group's different. You know, some groups have people that are musicians, you know, can bring their guitar and play and lead worship. You know, my group, we use YouTube videos to worship. You know, 10 or 15 minutes of worship. And again, it's just helping to build relationships, helping to build our faith, helping to, you know, encounter God. And this is one that struck me as I was studying and as I was going through this, that one of the things that struck me that, you know, the people I hang out with, I influence their lives. And oh, by the way, they influence mine. And it seems like since our eternal life is in the balance here, it seems like we really ought to be hanging out with people that are going after God. And, you know, house churches or these small relational groups are a way to do that. You know, invest your time in those kind of groups. Anna talked about, you know, having fun together. You know, we have a lot of laughs in our groups. We get to fellowship. We get to socialize. Sometimes we do a dinner. Sometimes we always have snacks and, you know, just get to spend time together doing fun stuff. And here for me is the key, you know, is we build authentic relationships. We build real relationships with people that you can't do in this setting. You know, that's why we have the small groups. So let me ask a question. I hope I don't offend anybody, but there's always a chance I might. How many of you have Facebook or Twitter or Instagram accounts? How many have one or all of those or more? And first, let me. I'm not saying social media is a bad thing. Please, in my next few comments, don't hear I'm saying social media is a bad thing. If you hear that, and you know, send it to Pastor Tony, and he can beat me down later. But that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, how many of you go to those social media accounts more than once a week? How many? I would bet money on this, and I'm not a betting man, but I would bet money that most of us go to them several times a day. Okay? But because if we don't, we feel disconnected, right? You feel like, oh, I've been out of touch with my people. But and I'm serious. I mean, I say that facetiously, but I'm serious. But how many of us are disconnected from God's people except for the once a week when we're here on Sunday? You know, and it doesn't seem to bother us all that much. Again, who are we spending our time with? You know, and again, I'm not saying social media is a bad thing, because it certainly can be a great tool to communicate to other people. It can be a great tool to reach out to other people. Although it certainly can be a bad thing. There are certain, if you're not careful and you're not discerning, it certainly can be a bad thing. There's a lot of bad stuff out on the social media. But I'm just trying to use it as a measuring stick, as a comparison to say, you know, how well do we connect with the people of God versus how well do we connect with our social media groups or whatever. Now, hopefully your social media groups are made up of mostly, or hopefully they're all, you know, God's people, where you're, you know, spending your time, you know, communicating with people. But social media is not going to meet the need to have authentic relationships. I just think it takes personal interaction. You know, now that's just my personal opinion, but you know, I don't think you're going to find authentic relationship in social media. So here's the hard part. Here's the hard part of these groups, you know, these relational groups. It takes your time. It takes your effort. It takes your commitment. It takes your consistency. You have to sacrifice. Okay? That's the hard part. It does. I mean, you can't do it. You can't build authentic relationships. We can't have house churches. We can't have these small relational groups if people aren't participating, aren't coming, aren't engaged. And I want to tell you, and I think you've heard it, the sacrifice is worth it. You know, today's culture drives all of us to be very busy. You know, we're all really busy people for whatever reason. You know, but the questions that I think we have to honestly ask ourselves, and oh, by the way, honestly answer ourselves, is what are we busy doing? Where and how are we investing our time? How much priority do I give to the things of God? Look at your calendar. You know, look at your calendar. How much time do you devote to things of God versus other stuff? And I absolutely understand that other stuff has to be done in some cases. But there's priorities and there's a balance. And the challenge is for you to find that. Matthew 6:33 says, Jesus tells us, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness before anything else, and then everything else will be given to you. So the question is, are you seeking the kingdom of God before anything else? Or do we seek other things first? And, oh, by the way, try to squeeze in some kingdom stuff along the way. Just a thought. Hopefully you've caught the vision, you know, in the 30 minutes that I've been up here. You know, hopefully you've gotten the vision that, you know, our small groups are intended to provide opportunities for us to encourage each other, to love each other, to be connected, to help each other, to nurture, to minister to each other, to discern, to teach and to be taught, to heal and to be healed, to preach the gospel, to worship, to disciple, to build up the church, to establish God's kingdom on earth. Again, all these sound like good things to me. They also sound a lot like what Pastor Tony's been talking about for the, you know, his series on community. You know, and the basic question we asked back in the beginning of, you know, how do we apply this community stuff, you know, the model we got from the early church, how do we apply it today? Hopefully I've given you some insight into that, what I believe and our elders believe is important for us as a body. They also sound like a lot like our church's mission, right? Encounter God, love people, share life. Right? That's our mission statement. House churches provide you a way to do that. Our small groups will provide you a way to do that. The men's group provides an opportunity for that. The ladies group, the recovery groups that Anna leads. get to make the choice. You have to decide whether you want to participate or not. And it's a binary decision. You either do or you don't. You get to decide. In the bulletin today, you know, Gary had you take out the card. There's this other sheet in there that's got our relational groups. It lists the house churches. It lists the demographic groups, the men's group, the ladies group. Lists Anna's, the recovery groups that Anna leads. I'd encourage you, you know, if God leads you, if you feel like God is pushing you towards, you know, one of these groups and you're not in one, you know, take this list, look at it. There's also the house churches and small groups thing out in the foyer, out in the, hanging on the wall. Got a little bit more information. You know, I encourage you to seek out the leaders, to talk to us, and you know, find a group that fits for you. I'm going to end with this. This is one of my favorite verses, and you know, I apply it to my house, but I certainly apply it to my house church as well. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, my house church, we will serve the Lord.